Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Now we're in a transition a little bit.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, what a glorious and fun show it was, and can't wait until we're reconvening tomorrow morning to talk about the draft. It is draft day, and we're broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We appreciate their contribution and thank them for it, and we want to thank Brian Gertz. He got up this morning at 4:30 in the morning to make sure we were on Twitch. God bless you, Brian. Thank you. We appreciate it. And we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this draft day.
Thanks to our guy, Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
We have a group of names kind of in a cloud of names kind of in the middle of the first round.
Yes. And Ray, great work. Really appreciate it.
You know when there's kind of a consensus pick and you can feel it.
And Sean Sears helped us out this morning. Thanks, Sean.
Collaboration.
That's what it's all about. And we're going to collaborate with some fellow collaborators next. It's Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Good morning, guys.
Morning. Happy draft
day. Dan and Layla.
Yep. Happy Cubs game. Wasn't that fun watching Anthony Rizzo strike out Freddie Freeman?
I was long gone at that point. That was on the pay-no-mind list.
I watched the Bulls lose to Tibbs. Yeah, that's what I was paying attention to.
I watched the rain delay. I couldn't get away from the Cubs for some reason. I did watch that entire horrible ending to that game. I was trying to watch the Bulls, but they were so upsetting. I don't know why. They came back a couple times early. Just didn't do it for me. Couldn't get on board.
Yeah, I watched the State of the Union and then had the volume down the rest of the night.
That's pretty much what I did too. We decided we were just going to order a pizza and watch the speech and keep track of everything else that was going on. But man, you hit the nail on the head, David, when it comes to today. Usually our experience in the world of the Bears is a first round pick brings with it hope and an idea that something's going to change and something's going to be different. I can never remember, having done this now for 25 years, I can't ever remember this level of nihilism, this level of the overriding wave of skepticism, no matter what. I mean, from longtime people, from people predisposed to optimism, people predisposed to wanting to hope for the best for their team, and everybody saying, well, you know, whatever it's going to be, it's not going to be good. And this is an all-timer for me, this level of Bears skepticism.
And it's not necessarily inappropriate.
No, not at all. I'm part of it.
You're part of it. We're part of it. And it's based on the last time the Bears were kind of faced with this situation. Do you trade up to draft somebody, a quarterback? And that example, that experience has scarred everybody from wanting to trust Ryan Pace to do it again. And that, to me, is the prevailing thought going into tonight's draft. It's like, okay, do anything else. There are a wide variety of options. Just don't do that.
Which is probably what they're going to do. I was telling Dan before our show started that Trey Lance just seems like such a Bears quarterback, doesn't he? When Brad Biggs was describing him, I was like, oh, this is a dreamy pick for Ryan Bays.
Just toolsy and like, possible and being mesmerized by what he could be.
When Brad Biggs said lowest floor, highest ceiling, I was like, oh,
well,
But
the Bears act as if we didn't see the whole Trubisky thing. The Bears act as if either it didn't happen or we're not aware that it happened. Part of what underpins this skepticism is the size and gravity, the footprint of the Trubisky miss, the failure of the draft pick, the failure of the trade-up to get him, the failure of the development. And all that they said every year, oh, it's night and day, it's 200 level, he's coming along, and he's won the competition against Foles. It's like, do they really think we didn't see all of that? We did. We lived it.
God. He's learning, dude. It's cool.
Yeah, if you look at the first 3 years, and then you look at the second three, forget it. Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Mitch Trubisky. Those are the first three first-round picks.
Yeah!
And I think that, you know, Leonard Floyd might end up having a decent career, but he wasn't going to have it here. And so you turn it around with Roquan. You give away a couple picks for Khalil Mack. And now here you are, the first time you're drafting outside the top 10. Is there a scenario in which you don't try to get into the top 10?
Well, yeah,
I think that's the problem.
This is Ryan Pace being granted a career favor, okay? Not only does he still have his job, which is a huge and the biggest favor of them all, frankly, given that track record you just described, goodness sakes, this is his seventh draft. And the favor is he doesn't have to prove anything except for that he has grown on the job. Stay at 20, don't move up, learn from your mistakes, because the Mitch Trubisky mistake was a whopper, and if you make the same one again, okay, if it's John Lynch, if it's George Payton, if it's somebody else like that who either hasn't done it yet or has done it successfully, you're not worried. But it's Ryan Pace, so no, don't move up, don't trade assets, don't draft a quarterback in the first round.
At least, you know, they made great defensive decisions when free agency, like cutting Kyle Fuller and signing Robert Quinn.
Well, you know, the salary cap issues that they're looking at are pretty overwhelming. So if there is going to be a fix, it's not going to be like, could they even afford to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo if they actually believed he was the guy? No, they couldn't take on that kind of money.
That's what I'm saying. Those cap hits with Foles and Dalton combined are nothing to sneeze at. Those are significant, relatively speaking, to the rest of their draft.
Well, it does make you wonder, Molly. That's a great point. We didn't get to enough because $400,000 under the cap, according to the ESPN report, it makes you wonder about guys like tonight on the move, draft night trades. Anthony Miller, you know, his money, someone else's money with a bigger salary and cap hit. You wonder if those guys are in play on the move to create some space that, frankly, you know, you're last in the league in space. So you've got to do something.
Well, let's not forget, too, if they were to take a developmental quarterback later, whether it's the injured Stanford guy or Kellen Mond or one of these next tier of names, it's not like that guy isn't immediately going to be the most tantalizing possibility of the position. It doesn't matter. Obviously, moving up is a bigger story and a bigger risk and a bigger swing. But even if later on in the draft, if there's a guy in that room, he is immediately the favorite of everybody in the city. Yeah. We've been here too long. Even if we all know he sucks, just somebody being different, whether it was Craig Krenzel or Nathan Enderle or anybody else you want to say that when we hand out the Ken Mastroli awards in the preseason, that guy, that becomes the it guy, no matter where.
Do you remember the song? He ducks under center and his name is Moreno. He throws down the field and his name is Moreno.
And bam.
Hands off the ball and his name is Moreno. Moses Moreno.
That was tremendous. Nothing. If for nothing else, at least we have that.
Well, that's how long ago it was when you were still kind of having the same crazy hope, even though all evidence to the contrary.
Oh, yeah. I can remember the deep dive into Dan LeFevre, you know, the Mac quarterback.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know,
David fails.
I got to tell you, though.
And he did.
Like,
of course he did.
The backup quarterback being the most popular guy, that's everywhere.
Like, not in Kansas City.
Not in places where there's a good established quarterback, yes. Yeah. But everywhere else, it's the same song, same dance. Craig Krenzel, though, that's a deep dive that I hadn't thought about in a while.
It's always the next guy. We love the next guy. We love the next possibility because we just have we have so much, like you say, sunk cost into these fungible veteran guys. That they just, you know, Andy Dalton, they just decided, well, I guess we have to have Andy Dalton right now because we do. And here he is. And we could have had him last year, but we decided not to. And now he's like one serious concussion thereafter. Now we can have him more expensively and promise him the starting job.
Could have had Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm way higher on him than Dalton.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not a
We've talked about fan. This.
Layla, this is how much that Teddy Bridgewater impressed the Carolina Panthers last year with his season there. They were willing to pay $7 million of his $10 million salary if he would just go away.
He got paid $10 million last year and Andy Dalton didn't.
Well, but that was before. I mean, yeah, but that was last year's marketplace. And I'm not going to sit here and say Andy Dalton is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback, but I don't know that it's as clear cut that Andy Dalton is a worse choice than Teddy Bridgewater would have been because availability, durability, all these things factored into why people weren't so enamored with the idea of Teddy Bridgewater, 6 weeks ago.
I think he has more talent.
The more you look at it and think about it, like if they had brought back the exact same team and just added to it, we would just be falling over ourselves with exhaustion and horror. And effectively, that's what they did with management giving a pass on everybody and with everybody coming back with Ryan Pace once again going to the well. The utter lack of confidence among the fan base,
yep,
among the observers, it is palpable.
Yes.
The lack of any kind of buzz for this draft because of the Draftmeister, because of, he's changed his tune and he's changed his style from being the guy that had to make, I'm not sitting on my hands, I got to go get this move, don't tell John Fox what we're doing, we're bringing in Mitch Trubisky, to the guy now who is like, show of hands, let's get 10 people here, everybody nod your head, bobblehead, yeah, okay, we'll do it. It just, his lack of confidence, the idea that he needs consensus for confidence, and then everybody else looking at it. I've never seen. You're right, Dan. This is just a downer.
It's an all-time downer. It's that press conference. It
yes.
was it was the lack of accountability. Where yep. it's still the reverberations from them saying, "Well, 6-game losing streak. Really, went all look how we did after 6-game losing streak. Look how we recovered from it." And the lack of accountability. This is all okay. Everything is okay in their world, and George McCaskey's like, I'm the top football guy, and it's ultimately up to me, but hey, Darnell Mooney's not bad. I mean, that was such a farce of a press conference, and we listened, and we chewed it over, and we heard them tell us who they were and what matters to them, so it's really hard for us to say, well, hey, yep, draft pick, all right, now let's go. Like, that was so damaging. And they don't know. They've never known. They have no idea. They don't care. They don't know. And if somebody were to tell them that, they would ignore it. But they have no idea how far they're standing in the eyes of the average fan. And the level of trust on every level is so down in the dumps that it's just really hard to get excited the way we usually do.
That's why I think that if they did pull the trigger tonight and they did make a trade into the top 10 and they did get, say, Lance Fields or even Mac Jones, I think that the reaction would be more of a negative one than a positive one. Even though there might be excitement surrounding the quarterback and the guy of the future, I still think that there would be that skepticism that would carry the day. And I would have, maybe I'm just speaking from my own standpoint and projecting that onto others, but I do think collectively the fan base might be like, really? You did what? You gave up how much again?
No, I think that's 100% spot on. And if it is for Trey Lance, then tell me how this is any different. And you think that you've got the staff to develop a quarterback? Cool story.
Yeah, that's because it's supposed to matter when you did it once and you failed at it. We watched a slow motion train wreck over the last 4 years. They did it. They made a bad trade for a prospect they didn't develop, and then they don't pick up his option, and now he's the backup in Buffalo. We saw that happen, and they don't seem to think we did.
That's cool. Well, we saw Kevin White. We saw Leonard Floyd.
There are various markets in which you can improve your football team, right? So you look at the quarterback position and Ryan Pace. So you tap into the free agent market, and you come up with Mike Glennon. Ugh. You're paying him $18.5 million for four starts. You use the trade market. Now you had to, the draft market. Now you had to trade up to do it, but you took the first quarterback in the draft, in a draft in which there was a Hall of Famer and a perennial Pro Bowler, and you took the wrong one, and you paid to do it. And then you go into the trade market, and you come up with Nick Foles, because you've gone. There are different markets and different attempts to fix a problem on the team, and you feel like here you are going into a draft at square one.
Go Bears.
But I'm not trying to be mean about it. I'm just saying that it is not like it's been one element that has failed. Every player procurement element there is, I guess they didn't go to restricted free agency or street free agent.
Right.
But that's not usually where you find a quarterback.
Well, you're repeating it, and we're discussing it again because it is so remarkable in today's pro sports culture. You don't typically get this many opportunities to be wrong, and Ryan Pace has taken advantage of every one of them. So you typically, when you either sign the wrong free agent at the most key position, or if you draft the wrong guy at the most key position, you don't get an opportunity to do both again in the seventh year of a tenure. Your tenure typically won't last that long, and yet here we are.
Yeah, and it's funny that I was completely selfishly I the only reason I want them to trade up is because Cody Westerlund wants me to write a column immediately after they draft. So
you want to be done early?
Yes. I can get my night over with. Yeah. If they trade up and they take some quarterback who's going to suck and they give up next year's first round pick, and I can get that all done and press send, and then
you can write that now, Dan. You can write that now and get ready.
I can probably write both. That. I can probably write. You know, they take the guy the. Tackle from Oklahoma State at 20, Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the thing, guys. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but when you really stop and you gather yourself and consider how much of their treasure they've given away, when you miss on draft picks, you pay through the nose, right? Leonard Floyd didn't work, so guess what? We're going to give Robert Quinn too much money. That's just one example, but it's
Adam Shaheen didn't work. Here's Jimmy Graham. Yep. Had to use your other draft pick on Cole Kmet.
Through the whole list, and not only that, but think about the picks you've given up. Right, so you trade up for the quarterback for Mitch Trubisky. One of those picks you gave up was used to draft Alvin Kamara. That is your treasure. You've given away your treasure, and what are you left with? Well, we overcame a 6-game losing streak. You know, 8-8. We made the playoffs. I mean, God.
Well, and that's why I was okay with him trading for Khalil Mack. Because I'm like,
right.
Two first round picks that he's not gonna draft with? Awesome. Let's go.
You made him the richest defensive player, and I'm just saying, for everything you do. And all the amount of money, I can't believe there's no accountability. I can't believe that nobody with an abacus at Hallis Hall is looking at all the money that's gone out. Never mind the picks and all the missed opportunity.
Well, you have an accountant who's in charge of the team.
Yeah, and he hired the guy, so he feels kind of pot committed with him, I guess.
This is a gloomy day outside. It's raining. Here we are talking about
it. I'm keeping that glimmer of hope.
And I'm just like, nah.
Yeah.
Please just draft a tackle. It's so easy this year.
I want to bask in the glory of how long are Christian Darrisaw's arms, you know?
Right.
And how many sacks did he give up at Virginia Tech, and how many snaps, and can he play right tackle? When is he projected to be in the left tackle? That is the kind of conversation I hope we're having in the morning, but I worry that we will be having a different one.
Protect these dudes that you deem are assets. Like, try that route, you know? Like, protect them. I don't know. Create some holes for, like, a run game. Is that an idea that works?
Yeah, and Molly, you made the point, too, that we know that we're going to see what we have seen in the past, where it's the second drive of the fourth quarter, and it's third and one, and it's a pick play to the short side of the field on some dainty little sprint out, rather than handing the ball to a guy and having him run behind one of the fat guys. Because we know what we're getting. We know how they're seeing their football world, and it may just be he wants more toys.
I cannot handle another jet sweep. I will
get used to it.
It's too early for me. I have a whole baseball season to enjoy myself. NBA playoffs. I'm trying to figure out what the Bulls are doing. I will not sit here and discuss a jet sweep right now.
What about a jet sweep to the tight end?
I
God. All right. Listen, you know, here's the thing. I'm actually hugely motivated for the draft, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to enjoy it because there are so many teams I'm interested in, and I've kind of fallen in love with the way the players fall off the board. I'm really going to be engaged. But I think what we're talking about here, and I don't want people to mistake the negativity, it is about the lack of accountability for past error, not a lack of enthusiasm for current possibility. Because come hell or high water, we're going to be in here tomorrow morning talking about, well, you know, it's possible that this could have been a good idea. We're not going to be down on it, and I'm not down on the Bears. I'm flabbergasted at the lack of kind of celebratory feeling around town. And I don't even see the smiles between the hitter and the pitcher, because we're gonna not worry about the 10-0 loss. We're gonna have a little fun here. I don't get that sense out of Bear fans, and it's a pity.
Again, that press conference that confirmed so many fears that just sent the message that our angst, that our desire to win, that our priorities don't matter to them. They're not shared.
Winning doesn't matter.
Did we get the quarterback completely right? No. Do we win enough games?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right?
No.
Have we won enough games? No.
But yes. So nothing we won. So that's just that, the lip service to that, this sort of Marie Antoinette level lip service. Like, are our fans pleased that we're doing everything? No, but doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it's that disconnect that I think we feel.
That's the most concrete direction we've gotten in the offseason to this day, still from Ted.
It's a message that they're sending to everyone. And the message is, this is good enough. We like our guys. Everyone's nice to each other. This is okay. That's their message. Their message isn't, you know, win at all cost. We've got to move on. We've got to get better. The message is, hey, you know, did you see the 6-game losing streak? How do you celebrate that? You know, Joe Gibbs had this thing. You can lose a game, okay? You lose 2 in a row, we're all on high alert, okay? Everybody, we're getting close to tilt. You lose 3 in a row, someone is fired. That's the rule, because that's your season. This was losing 6 in a row. Oh, is that the Lions? Wow, look at that play they made at the end. What are you doing?
That's
many teams, when you lose 6 games in a row, will fall, and they will finger point, as George pointed out, and they won't recover from that. We did.
Hey, I made a colossal mess, but I kind of cleaned it up a little bit. Give me credit.
They expanded the playoffs, so we crawled in, and then we got blown out. But you know what? That's fine. Why would you worry about it? Come on.
Participation trophy.
That's it. All right. What have ye today?
Everything. We've got Sporps out the wazoo. We've got Ian Happ at 9:40. Ah. We've got a double edition of Who's Your Guy, the 10 to 10:20 segment, and then all the way to 10:40 up to the midday midway. We're going to just do a blowout Who's Your Guy today. Cody Decker will talk baseball at 11. Hub Arkish will give us his thoughts on the Bears' plans at 11:20. And we might do a quick hit segment at 11:45 to get to all the other sports stuff we're not going to be able to get to.
Have a great show.
Collaboration.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.